can you explain how you're going to pay for those, and can you give us a sense of what other policies you want to unveil going forward?
Sure. Well, I mean, you just look at it in terms of what we are talking about, for example, around children and the child tax credit and extending the EITC. It's at $6,000 for the first year of a child's life. The return on that investment in terms of what that will do and what it will pay for will be tremendous. We've seen it when we did it in the first year of our administration. We reduced child poverty by over 50%. So that's a lot of the work. And then what we're doing in terms of the tax credits, we know that there's a great return on that investment. When we increase home ownership in America, what that means in terms of increasing the tax base, not to mention property tax base, what that does to fund schools, again, return on investment. I think it's a mistake for any person who talks about public policy to not critically evaluate how you measure the return on investment. When you are strengthening neighborhoods, strengthening communities, and in particular the economy of those communities, and investing in a broad-based economy, everybody benefits, and it pays for itself.
What do you mean invest? Okay, I really feel like when you're talking about investing in the economy that you don't understand how the economy works, because you don't invest in it. It just is. You know what I mean? She doesn't know what I mean. She doesn't know. We're going to hear more of this type of word salad because, guys, it's the week of the DNC. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this very first hour on Monday, getting you all set up for this Monday. So I hope you guys are ready. The real bread and circus begins. So kick at right after the craziness of the Olympics. Now we have the DNC that starts this week. Were those protesters in the background? Is that what? That's all I heard.
Sounds just like him.
Yeah, sounds just like him. Yeah, completely. So the, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out she better be scripted for her remarks, because she has to discuss. They went this weekend. I guess she decided to try to shut everybody up, and they went out this weekend and they were going to try to, I guess, do some off script, off the cuff type of little Q&As with reporters. Not full on like press avails, but just little Q&As with the reporters out there. And it didn't really exactly go so well.
No.
Yeah, it didn't go, because she go ahead and hit me with three. I mean, keep in mind, she just got criticized by left-leaning newspapers who told her at the end of last week, maybe if your opponent is calling you a communist, maybe don't propose communism. And then she said this. Listen.
I will snatch their patent so that we will take over. And yes, we can do that. Yes. Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. The question is, do you have the will to do it? I have the will to do it.
Oh, you do.
So she just wants to full-on seizure of private property. I will snatch their patent. So what I'm hearing from her is that she's going to create a patent snatching czar. Gosh, there's so many ways I could go with this. I don't know. That's what I'm hearing. Snatch that patent. That should be their slogan. Patent snatcher. We're going to start calling her that from now on. She's going to snatch patents right and left. I feel like I've seen this done, performed like somewhere else in another like government, in another country. I'm going to snatch their patent. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. Confiscate private property owned by individuals and companies. So I hope everyone who is in business is listening to what she's saying here. This was just part of some of the epic sound bites that happened over the weekend. We're going to get a lot this week as well. But that's the seizure of... This is Atlas Shrugged come to life. It's the seizure of private property without any, I mean, it's just seizure full out. She's not even talking about compensation for snatching this private property. This is so confiscating guns, confiscating private property. I mean, what else is left for her to go for? I mean, she's Santa Claus with her economic policy that she came out with last week. All of this is going to be part of the introduction. They came out with their platform. We're going to get into that. The DNC, which kicks off this week. They came out with their platform. They have their speaker lineup, which we're going to get into. Lest I forget, they have the abortion and vasectomy bus. Did you guys hear about this? So the Missouri Planned Parenthood has established they sent up a bus for free abortions and vasectomies. And then they have an 18-foot tall inflatable IUD called Frida Womb.
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh. So the Planned Parenthood in Missouri and also Southern Illinois, there are fewer Planned Parenthoods than there are community health centers, which actually provide a full array of services, but I digress. They've sent a mobile health center to the West Loop for the DNC. And so people can go up and they can get their vasectomies and get their abortion on birth control as birth control on demand right up there at the bus. Go into the bus. I mean, that sounds completely clean and hygienic, right? Let's go up to the West Loop. Let's go up to the bus. Get your abortion and your vasectomy. Ugh. And then they've got the big giant IUD. No, I mean, these people, it's a clown show. They said that they're going to be provided on a slide. Now, it is free with a caveat. So they're providing them on a sliding fee scale where they say you pay what you can and then you get the healthcare that you need. And then you only require a name, date of birth, and basic contact information. By the way, you got to have your ID to get in the DNC, but not to vote. I find that interesting. So they have that big, that's up there. So you know that that's going to be a huge, huge, huge talking point all this week. You're going to hear nonstop about abortions, et cetera, et cetera. That's all you're going to hear about. So, this is a nightmare. They have their party platform. So the highlights of their platform, they keep talking about Project 2025. I haven't talked a lot about that because it's stupid. And I would rather jump off my roof and break my legs off into shredded nubbins. I would rather feed myself into a wood chipper, nom nom, than to have to deep dive on the insane tinfoil hat conspiracy theory nuttiness that is the Democrats' speculation with this. It was a heritage thing, and they were talking about policy. And somehow it morphed into this, like, I don't even know what it morphed into, but that's what. So they keep talking about Project 2025, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all about basically their platform. And I'm looking at it. The highlights of it: abortion and we hate Trump. Oh, wait, sorry. Climate crisis, racial wealth gap, and we hate Trump and abortion. Oh, abortion and then we hate Trump. That's what they're. The racial wealth gap. I mean, I do think it's interesting that the party that fought for and promoted and protected slavery is now suddenly, you know, even though they continue to promote indentured servitude with economic policy, that they are very interested in the racial wealth gap today. So, oh, and then they talk about, of course, you know, they said, listen to this. They said they're meeting in Chicago and recognizing and honoring the traditional homelands. They're talking about indigenous American nations. Again, also fascinating, considering it is the party which you have Hiawatha, right? Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, the woman who literally lied on forms and, you know, herself lied and said that she was a Native American and she wasn't, and then passed herself off at that for professional advantage. I'm just fascinated by all of this. All of it is such pandering nonsense. It really just blows the mind that people read this and think that this party cares about you. There's nothing in their platform, and I'm looking at it. I don't see anything in there where they talk about actual economic policy, where they talk about what they're going to do to ease inflation, what they're going to do with for families. I mean, they have they're on page 17 of their platform. They get into taxes, fairer taxes is what they. Basically what they're proposing is investment. They want to give people money, investment, which means more tax. They want to spend more tax dollars going towards people who actually don't pay into taxes. We talked about some of this last week. So this is all part of their platform. And we're gonna dive into all of this. Also, you got Trump and Vance that are going to barnstorm battleground states all of this week during the RNC or DNC, and good for them on that. I will say he made some people mad. This is why Trump needs to be super, super, super disciplined. So he was at this. He was actually at his golf course. This was in Bedminster, New Jersey, right? And he was talking about energy prices, and he was discussing drilling, and, you know, he was just, it wasn't like an official press scrum. He was playing golf, and the press showed up, and they were asking him questions, right? And so he was answering, and then he said, and we're going to let a lot of people come in. He says, more immigrants are needed because, you know, talking about the U.S. needs more people. Listen, this is audio soundbite 36. Listen.
But basically, we're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to get the energy prices down almost immediately. And we're going to close the border. And we're going to get the crooked ones out, the bad ones out. And we're going to let a lot of people come in because we need more people, especially with AI coming and all of the different things. And the farmers need, everybody needs. But we're going to make sure that they're not murderers, killers, drug dealers, and the kind of people that we have largely coming in right now. Okay.
So there was, the media was quick to jump on. Oh, boy, look what Trump's saying right here. Trump has to be really careful and very disciplined. So he played golf that morning. That's when he had the price thing, the boxes of cereal up. And a lot of people were talking about this statement. And I saw a lot of it going around on X and elsewhere. And someone was like, why is he saying this all of a sudden, et cetera? This is why he has to be very, very, very careful, particularly when talking about immigration, because, you know, you have certain types of visas. And then when you get into like the H-1B and you get into the skilled workers, I mean, it's not something that you can do, especially in a setting like this with the press, when they're looking for any kind of advantage, any kind of daylight between you and your base. You got to be really, really careful what you're saying and what you're talking about. Now, he's talking about, obviously, merit-based legal immigration. And I'm not going to explain anything, but that's, I mean, obviously, he's talking about legal entry that's merit-based, which is literally not at all what we have right now. And I don't think anybody would argue with me on that. We do not have merit-based, you know, legal immigration. It's a free-for-all at the border. But I do think that we need to be careful with that when talking about it, because even then, there ought to be limitations so that you can actually regulate for those who are in the United States, just as their own countries of origin would do if you were to travel there, and to make sure that everything is in compliance, statuses are in compliance, etc. Because we can't handle what we have right now. And the whole system needs to be overhauled. And I think that that's when you need, we're past the, you know, the 30,000 foot universal statement on it. We need specificity, and we need to be very disciplined when discussing it. So we got more on this. We got, yeah, the platform. We got education. College students are going back to campus. What to expect. We got all of that and more.
Hi, I'm Matthew, a theater major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
You have more wealth than your neighbor, and they don't have a clue. Don't get into this vicious cycle of trying to compete with people on social media or people you live near with material items. If you're putting money away, you can take advantage of those opportunities throughout your life.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So today is the super moon. I don't know what that means, except maybe werewolves. I don't know. The rare super moon tonight, bigger and brighter than any moon seen this year. It's called the Sturgeon Moon. It's going to peak about 2:26 p.m. Eastern. and appear full all the way through Wednesday morning. And the name comes from the giant lake sturgeon from the Great Lakes and Lake Champlain, easily caught during the summer. It's a celestial wonder. Like, weird stuff happens, right, during the full moon, right? Werewolves. Hello, it's almost the start of spooky season, as you guys know. It's when I can get my daily items. Gen Z is blaming social media for ruining their mental health, but no one in Gen Z is getting off social media. So that's kind of a problem. They said 3 out of 4 Gen Zers, Zoomers, are putting the blame on social media for having a negative impact on their mental health. But you guys get on it. Like, oh my gosh, I hate all this. Why is this hurting my mental health? I can't.
Who are they going to tell about their mental health if it's not on social media?
I know, like, yeah, exactly. Who are they going to talk about? You know, what are you going to put it on TikTok about your mental health? I mean, what? I mean, it's like if a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? Like if a Zoomer is having an issue and they don't put it on social media, does anybody know? You know, I don't know. But they said that they did this. It's LG Electronics who did the survey. And they said that they looked at a big number of Zoomers, but that was those were the results that they came away with. The giant mercury bomb warning issued by scientists. So the melting of permafrost in the Arctic, they said, could result in toxic mercury leaching into the waters of Alaskan rivers, putting millions of people at risk. Not unlike the time that the EPA dumped a bunch of toxic chemicals in the Animas River in Colorado, way different. The mercury bomb, it's in the permafrost, it's melting, it's being, that they keep saying this is like fear-mongering nonsense is what it is. It's fear-mongering nonsense. Where's Smod? I want to get hit by an asteroid. It's all, like, come on. Let's see, this in an they're trying to argue that illegal border crossings have fallen, and they're saying, oh, it's the lowest level in 4 years, particularly in states like Texas. That's because Texas really worked overtime to secure our southern border, and the crossings moved elsewhere. They went to California, which actually saw an increase in illegal crossings. In Arizona, they also saw an increase in illegal crossings. So you can't just be like, oh, well, and ignore what Texas has done. Russia had a volcano that erupted after a 7-point magnitude earthquake. Ash column went 5 miles into the sky. We got a lot more on the way. Coming up, polling, DNC, culture, and more. Hey, dudes, listen up. I have a gift idea that could truly impress the lady in your life and transform your home into a much-needed sanctuary, all with the luxurious comfort of Cozy Earth. It's called Cozy Earth. She'll be impressed. And Cozy Earth uses only the finest fabrics and textiles, making their products super soft and comfortable. So, for example, you could give the gift of comfort and support with Cozy Earth's durable weave bedsheet fabric that keeps your bedsheet smooth and luxurious for years. And you can say goodbye to pilling also. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are super comfortable. It's a long-lasting investment. And ladies, you don't have to wait for somebody to get this for you. You can create your own comfort and sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose. It's very luxurious. So we just got our sheets. That's their California king size. And they had our color, which was Harbor Mist. That's the one I picked out. So I love the selection. I love how easy it is to navigate their website and find what you want. So if you want to make every bedroom a sanctuary, do it with Cozy Earth. Breathable, ultra soft, and even softer with every wash. Try them risk-free today for 100 nights and love them or get a full refund. And that's one of the best money-back guarantees in the business. So your bed's calling, and answer with the ultimate in comfort and get up to 40% off only at cozyearth.com/Dana using code Dana. And don't forget, tell them I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get some free socks. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Attorney General in California, I went after companies that illegally increased prices, including wholesalers that inflated the price of prescription medication, and companies that conspired with competitors to keep prices of electronics high. I won more than $1 billion for consumers. So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors. Yeah. and I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Price gauging. Jeez.
My plan will include new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crises and break the rules, and we will support smaller food businesses that are trying to play by the rules and get ahead.
What gets me about her
proposals
with this, when she talks about price gouging and then she went after like big grocery, no one seems to be able to prove that any of this is actually occurring. Think about it. Have you heard or are familiar with price gouging? Purposeful price gouging at a supermarket. Where are these things occurring? That's never, ever been produced. No one's ever been able to prove any of this, despite the fact that they've said it ad nauseum. What, since pre-COVID, Kane? Where's this happening? Have you seen it? What grocery store do you go to? Are you seeing this?
I'll go to Albertsons every now and again. I'll do the Walmart neighborhood market. I like that. I've gone to Kroger a few times. But the reality is all of these are, look, food competes with food all the time. That's why you see such slim profit margins with food, because there's so much competition with food. That's why the prices are low. You can't go after food and act like you're going to squeeze some blood out of a turnip here or a rock.
Big food.
It's ridiculous. It's
not even big grocery anymore. It's big food. Well, and stores that would do that, all another chain would have to do in order to get to make more money is have lower prices. That's why all of their profit margins are incredibly similar, because you know, they can't sit here and if somebody jacks
up, with it.
Yeah, you can't get away with it. The consumer will keep you honest.
Yes.
There's no way. There's too many options for that
to
happen.
What? $10 for a gallon of milk? Down the street, I can get it for $3.50.
Exactly.
Thanks. See ya.
Yeah, exactly. So this is so stupid. This is so dumb. The problem is inflation, and they won't talk about this. She's rolling out these insidious socialist policies. The problem is inflation. The problem is, you know, however much it took for a farmer or whatever to produce, you know, this particular harvest of this particular, you know, yield, this grain or this produce or whatever it is, everything is more expensive because the government has spent so much money. They've had to print more money. That's how we're getting inflation. And now everything is a lot more expensive, down to fertilizer. What, everything is expensive, more expensive. So it isn't as though the farmer who's, say, growing the corn has decided to just, you know what, I'm going to jack up my prices for no good reason. Because, see, the other thing is, too, where we get all of this stuff, they all compete. You know, the distribution competes. Where they source it from, all of the farms compete where they source it from. We know folks who work in a poultry farming. They do the, in fact, that's where a lot of the free range, happy chickens and the grass fed running around happy in their little fields. They all have best friends, chicken friends. They all compete in order to provide. And then the distributors compete to distribute. And then the super. So if one can't just get away with increasing price because they would find someone else to provide the next service that they needed in the chain cheaper. The issue is that this stems from something that they can't control, which is the economic policy federally and the exorbitant spending and then the printing of money to offset it, which is now how we have all of this. It's just basic economics. And I'm not even getting into the, what is it, the $25,000 down payment for first-time home buyers, which is immediately going to drive up the cost of housing. It's going to explode. So this is, we're going to hear all of this all this week because of the DNC and their platform. Now, the crazy thing is that the platform, and I'm reading it, it doesn't include some of her crazier things. Like, it doesn't actually get into the price gouging and her socialist policies, you know, that have to do with this problem that no one can actually document as occurring. It doesn't get into any of that. She also talks about in her speech, and I think Daily Caller touched on this, where she was saying that the U.S. was finally rebuilding broadband and that they were investing in infrastructure. Now, remember, they had the American Rescue Plan, that act that was passed in 2021. And that included something like $43 billion for expanding broadband. And she was supposed to, you know, she, I guess, was also the broadband czar. She was supposed to deal with it. Well, we had Brendan Carr on the show, if you remember, not like what, a couple of months ago, when he was talking about this. She actually never connected a single American to the internet. They didn't build anything, much like the charging stations. They never actually built anything. They didn't build anything. Not one new connection was created. They didn't build anything. The DNC platform doesn't get into a lot of stuff. It doesn't get into the trans surgeries for minors. It doesn't get into that. It talks about what they call a fair tax code, which means that they need to protect entitlement. That's literally what they're talking about. They have to protect entitlement programs in order to have, and climate change, for a fair tax code. That's what they have in here. This is on page 14. Mm-hmm. And then they try to go for the working class by going through union bosses. And union bosses are eating it up. Because union bosses can be as crooked as the left. See, that's, I was telling my kids this, because my kids don't, they didn't really understand the history of unions. And I'm like, yeah, at a time, you know, that's when you had, you know, people were really being, you know, targeted. And, you know, there was a necessity to organize and have strength in numbers. And then when you had the same left-leaning people that were exploiting the workers figure out that they could actually exploit the workers more by pretending to lead them, then you got these union bosses, and they end up selling out the American worker because they want a slice of the pie that's bigger than you know, what the market can handle, and so they drive away jobs. This is John Taffer, who I love his show, Audio Soundbite 26. He's talking about the price control stuff, too. Listen to this.
Well, you know, Neil, I've been thinking a lot about it. Think of a shrimp. The ship, the fisherman needs to keep his cost the same. His gas can't go up. His maintenance costs go up. Then the processing plant, their prices can't go up. Then the distributor's price can't go up. Then the company that retails it can't go up. Then when a restaurant gets it, his prices can't go up. If anything loses control along the way, the guys on the back end of the chain lose money. And this is what we've seen last time. You know, we saw landlords not rent apartments because they would lose money on it. So unless you freeze every single cost of every business in the country, you cannot cap some of them. And of course, Neil, if you were to do that, then our free market economy is gone.
I'm curious as to if they're going to touch on this at all during this week of DNC. So on the bottom of page 14 in their platform, they're talking about taxes, right? And they keep with this promise that they're not going to raise taxes on the middle class, despite the fact that's not going to not happen. They write this, quote, "Democrats don't believe we should add $5 trillion to the national debt to give more tax breaks. Skewed to the wealthy and big corporations, we're fighting to reward work, not wealth." That is some, are you okay? Kane, oh, you all right? That's the bottom of page 14 of their plan that they released for the DNC. I want to touch on, they want to reward work, not wealth. Here is the problem. This is the problem at the heart of Marxism. Remember, Karl Marx was a chonky, slovenly example of human excrement on earth. He was lazy. He never worked a day in his life. He lived off of the handouts from his friends. He was abusive to his wife. He was an absentee, deadbeat dad, and none of his policies ever worked. And there you have segments of the population that revere him as some kind of scholar instead of a moron I mean, AOC is more intelligent than Karl Marx. That says something. And this idea that you should reward work, not wealth, I just want to focus on that for a moment. People who have never worked, people who have never made payroll, who have never had to go through hiring, who have never had to meet code, who've never had to worry about insurance, who've never had to worry about any of these things, they have no understanding either of work or wealth. The Marxist left believes that wealth is due to inequality. They omit the work aspect of it because they're at the very heart of it, they're lazy and prideful. They covet what other people earn. They covet their earnings. They covet their material, whatever that they have. The Marxist left don't have ambition of their own. They just want. And so they view people. And remember, Forbes had a piece, and we've talked about this a lot, where the majority, like 95% of the rich in this country are first gen self-made. They didn't come from wealth. There are very, very few people who actually do, like the Waltons, right? But look at the social media companies, like the modern day Rockefellers and, you know, the modern day Vanderbilts, like a new gilded age with tech. The Bezoses, the Zuckerbergs, the Musks, this is all first gen. They created everything that they have from nothing. Jeff Bezos literally started a lending library out of his parents' garage. They didn't inherit this. They worked very hard. They paid the cost to be the boss, to put it in James Brown speak. So this idea that Democrats want to fight to reward work, not wealth, they're not rewarding work. They're punishing work because wealth is a consequence of work. They're punishing work. You are only allowed to be so successful. And then if you are beyond what they think is acceptable, well, then you are suddenly an enemy of the state because you are now wealthy. It's a weird concept in a country that celebrates industry and innovation and ambition and doesn't apologize for it. It's impolite. It's impolite in European aristocracy to be ambitious. It's considered gauche. But in the United States, it's what helped make this republic as amazing as it is. And they want to punish that. Marxism is an envious, illiterate, economically stunted belief set. And this, one of the things that, and as Kane notes, our good friend Carol Roth had talked about incentives. Wealth is an incentive of hard work. And when you penalize the incentive, when you reduce the incentive, when you take the incentive away, you are reducing work. Because people aren't going to work if they see 60% of their income go to the government. And the government treats this, and this is what the DNC looks at it. They don't think that they should add the other part of this $5 trillion to the national debt to give more tax breaks skewed to the people who pay them. So the people who pay the most in taxes, they shouldn't get back more of what they had earned because they overpaid to the government. What? They shouldn't get back more of what they paid into the system because that's just wealth redistribution. And then they act like it costs them. For you to keep your own money, that means that they have to add trillions to the national debt? Well, wait a minute. What is the action being done to add the trillions to the debt? Government spending. The government spending out of control. That is what is adding to the national debt. Not you working hard and keeping the fruits of your labor. You are not the enemy. Wealthy people are not the enemy. Government greed is the enemy. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible incredible force, sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
We're here in Jersey, Atlantic City. Who do you support?
Trump. I plead the fifth.
Trump for the win.
Tell me why.
I can't really call that right now, but I just feel like she's not good for president. She's good vice, but not for the actual lead role for the country.
Does it have anything to do with being a woman?
No. Mm-mm. No, because I feel like women, nah, you're not going to give me that.
Your money's on Harris.
Yeah.
Who do you want?
Trump.
Why don't you like Harris?
She don't have any experience. She's the vice president.
She's a senator.
No experience. She had no experience.
Well, I want Donald Trump. I just feel we need somebody that has a stronger background with the military and the world in general.
She was a prosecutor and an attorney general and a senator and a vice president. You're in a gambling town. Who's your money on?
I'm going to support the Democratic Party, but, I mean, Trump looked like he got it in the bag right now.
4 years ago, it was a lot better. I made a lot more money than I do now.
I know you feel that way, but that's not actually what the record shows. The economy is actually better under Biden. No, I'm serious.
What the facts show.
CNN? Okay, you know what?
No, that's not because I watch CNN. Trump or Harris? Trump. That's who's going to win.
Wow. So Don Lemon went to New Jersey and it didn't go like he thought it would. It really did not go like he thought it would. How are you going to sit here and lie to people? Look, you guys know what you spent. Like, you know what you spent 4 years ago at the grocery store, right? Compare it to today. Is anybody going to lie you out of that reality? That's what they're trying to do right now. Lie you out of it. We got a whole bunch more coming up, including that chick who's in that Snow White drama can't shut her mouth enough to not make this a box office bomb. We're going to touch on that. We got a lot of stuff still on the way. Second hour next. It's unsustainable. And they want to spend more. That's what she's talking about today in North Carolina, spending even more. Our partners over at Kel-Tec. The P15 is an awesome 9mm. It's the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market. And it comes in two versions, the P15. You have the polymer version and the metal version. The metal frame has that nice walnut wood panel. It got textured grips, real classic look. Very, it feels great to shoot. And it's very concealable. And it comes with two magazines. So you have the standard 15-round mag with minimal pinky extension. And for a more concealable look, you got a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium fiber optic front side, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, striker fire reliability, and a sweet trigger pull as well. It's only 1.27 approximately inches wide, 4-inch barrel, lifetime warranty, and it's compact and ideal for concealed carry self-defense, especially for you ladies. And it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It's Kel-Tec. The P15 9mm, the lightest, thinnest, sleekest one out there. You have to check it out. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Well, I think people are reading too much into what has been put out there. We know that Kamala Harris is going to be focused on building up more affordable housing. We know that Kamala Harris has already delivered on making sure that health care is more accessible and affordable for Americans. And we'll protect Obamacare. That's 1 million people who have health care in Michigan right now that Donald Trump's been trying to rip away.
Well, she doesn't think that you're owed an explanation. That's big Gretch on the price gouging plan, or sorry, gauging that Harris has. Cisse Poidway, Bodega. Good night. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour, Dana Lash with you. Channel 347 DirecTV also, and you can find the discussion over at Rumble and catch us on X, where we're also simulcasting the radio program. Make sure you go sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff happening over there. So this, they don't want to really talk about any specifics with her plan, the surrogates. In fact, There's nothing, and I've been going through, they released it this morning, the their platform, everything they're going to be talking about at the DNC this week, and they don't get it in there. They keep talking about, I mean, there's like multiple pages on how bad wealthy people are and business owners. You guys are so bad. You know, damn you business owners. So this is audio soundbite. Which one is this? It's one of her surrogates. 35? Yeah. And she's saying, like, this is this morning. She's saying, like, the same thing, and that Kamala Harris doesn't need to release any details because she doesn't. Listen.
Talking about policy. In fact, I think Vice President Harris has been incredibly brave to roll out an ambitious economic agenda, because we all know how this works. The more details you share, the more your policies are going to get picked apart. But she's saying, I trust the American people. I trust the journalists to explain these policies and our values to folks. And I think when that happens, it will be successful for Democrats. These are very pro-worker, pro-middle class policies that people have been waiting for.
Who are these surrogates? Do you even think that this guy pays property tax? Shut up. You're a fetus. Shut up. Jeez. Man, I don't pay any taxes or own any property. Well, you know what? That could also apply to Walls, too, because Tim Walls owns nothing. Although I had people in Minnesota say, well, he puts it in third-party stuff. But still, I mean, that's just them trying to glorify Marxism and owning nothing through Tim Walls. I was looking in. So here's something else that they're really hitting in their platform, because the DNC is this week. So this is on page 15, because this is where it gets into the meat and taties. They listen to this paragraph. OK. I see. I can't do this whole plan with you because we will spend all week on like two pages. OK, so this is what they write. This is bottom of page 15 going into page 16 of their platform. Quote. We'll put an end to abusive life insurance tax shelters and stop billionaires from exploiting retirement tax incentives that are supposed to help middle-class families. And we'll eliminate the stepped-up basis loophole so people can't avoid paying taxes on their wealth by passing it down to their heirs. So do you know what this means? The stepped-up basis. It's very simple. So stepped-up basis means if, say... say you bought a house in the 80s for like $50,000. 80, maybe. 50. What was the average cost of a house in the 80s, Kane?
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Probably closer to $50,000.
Okay, $50,000. Say you bought a house in the 80s for $50,000, okay? And say that same property is now worth... today, what do you think it would... well, I mean, on average, Kane, you worked in...
if it's just an average three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,200, 1,300 square feet, it's probably going to be somewhere closer to 250 today.
Okay. All right. So say you spent $80,000 on a house, average house, in the 80s. And when you kick the bucket, you're going to pass it down to your kid, right? And now say it's like 250. Let's say it's even 300. Let's say 300,000 now. It actually can happen, depending on locale, et cetera. So the stepped-up basis, what it means is, if you were to sell the property before you were to croak, you know, pass on, then you would pay the capital gains on the difference between a capital gains tax. You would pay a tax on the difference between those two, the $300,000 to the $80,000. Yep. But if you passed it on to your child... upon death, your child has to pay the full, because they reset the value to current market. And so your child is going to have to pay tax on that full $300,000. That's stepped up basis. And they act like it's just a rich people thing. It isn't. It's an every person's thing. It's crazy. It's like, it's like paying the death tax twice. You're getting doubly death taxed. Holy cow. They're not going to tax you once when you kick the bucket. They're going to get you twice. That's what this is. I mean, the whole reason that they even have that in the first place, isn't it because there's a death tax? Because you have a death tax? Right. Is that not the whole reason why they have it?
Yes.
So, wait a minute. Let me figure this out. So this is Democrats. This is page 15 of their plan. So if you are going to hold, like, I guess that would be, and you don't have to be a rich person to have, as you guys know this, I'm not, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys don't have to be like a multi-patrillionaire in order to have like an estate. It's just how you have your stuff organized legally. So if you're going to say that this estate is liable for a tax to be taxed, well, then how are you taxing it again if it's sold by the person who inherited it? It is a double, it's double taxation. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And this happens a lot with family farms. So that's, this is what is so stupid about their policies. And that's one of the things that they're saying. They are, they're, this is in their plan. This is page 15, 16 of their plan. Yeah, they're going to, as Juan knows, they're going to take from you even when you're dead. So everything is, you, and as Kane says, you are taxed. You're taxed when you buy something. You're taxed when you sell it. You're taxed over and over and over again. In Missouri, they have a personal property tax.
Yeah, and by the way, when you sell something, you had to acquire it in some way in the beginning. So you had to buy that first with money you were already taxed on with your income.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bought it and paid tax on the sales. And then when you go to sell it, you got to pay the tax on what you sold it for.
Right.
It's unreal.
This is how. Now, they get into lowering costs on page 17, but they literally, the lowering costs, when they talk about the inflation and everything else, you would think, because it's such a big issue, that they would probably spend more time highlighting that, right, Kane? Mm-hmm. You would think. One would assume.
You would think.
No. They actually say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs, that's it. All on page 17. That's all they're talking about. They don't even actually talk about inflation. And two of the paragraphs are how much they're mad about Trump. What, this is just on, it's called Chapter 3, Lowering Costs. It's on page 17 of their plan. This is literally all they say about inflation. They've got, you know, a handful of paragraphs. That's it. It's not even the full page. Then they get into prescription drugs. But they talk about the cost of living is too high. Lowering costs is their priority. And we have more to do. But, you know, Russia invaded Ukraine, so everything spiked. That's literally what they, that's what they said. They, two paragraphs, they blame it on Ukraine. And, oh, Biden's lowering cost agenda is historic. Trump, 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 Trump's bad. Trump, 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 to Trump, Trump, Trump. The rest is how much they don't like Trump. That's their inflation plan, guys. And as apparently Kane notes, that they forgot to take out Biden's second term from a lot of this material. Hold up. Let me look. I'm looking at it right now. Let me look. Biden's.
They left it in there 19.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right now. Guys, you, I'm sending you the platform. So, yeah, they have Biden's second term. That's on page 66. In President Biden's second term. I think they're trying to scrub it.
Yeah, they only got like 45 pages.
They got Biden's second term. They say Biden's second term once. And then they get into second term, all throughout the platform. So it's Biden's platform. That this isn't even Kamala Harris. She's just an avatar. This is not even Kamala Harris's platform. They took Biden's platform and they just sloppily put Kamala's name on it. Well, it wasn't even his, really. It was, you know, Valerie Jarrett's. And they took, they just took it and handed it over to Kamala Harris. This woman is not, she, this, none of these ideas, this is what they're doing. Can we please, dear heavens, can you show me the gas station? This is what they did over the weekend. Sorry, Juan, because I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to go back to the Juan's dying. I'm going to go back to the platform. But this is what Kamala Harris was doing with Tim Walz. What? Wait a minute. Steve, what gas station is this?
Sheets.
Okay, we'll roll with that. They said it, not me. Go to this. The Sheets, please.
Dougie, there they are.
Yeah, thank you. Oh my gosh, this is so stupid. Now, wait a minute. Hold up. I'm confused. Because there's another clip of Tim Walz finding the Doritos for her. Who found the Doritos? Was it Dougie? Or was it Timmy?
Did Emhoff do it?
because there's another clip where Walz does, oh, here are the Doritos, and makes a big deal about they filmed this damn thing twice, didn't they? They filmed it twice.
They did?
Yes.
They would have had to.
They filmed it twice. Juan's getting this video ready. Guys, what is this? So Doug finds the Doritos, and then there's another video where Walz is in there, and he's like, and then he tweeted it out. Yeah, he tweeted it out. Oh, that he found him for. Watch this video.
Is it corn nuts over there too?
Isn't this it?
That's
the big. Yeah. There you go. That's funny. Corn nuts over there.
So, Tim Walz, in the first video that Juan showed, is staring literally right at Kamala Harris being given a bag of Doritos. And then in his second video, he goes and gives Doritos for her.
Yep.
For the cameras. He tweeted it. Yeah, he did. So he tweeted it out and said, quote, "Every road trip needs a snack break. Doritos acquired. I got you at Kamala Harris." You could choke on the beta energy. You could just choke to death. And what gets me, I could watch the replay. Okay, so just, you know what? Just show the video, Juan, if you would, without sound, of Tim Walz, the video that he has in his tweet, because there's something very interesting that happens in this video. So as Tim Walz is handing over, very performatively, the Doritos to Kamala Harris, Doug is standing right next to her with his own bag of Doritos, and he looks at them like, well, I want you to watch this. Now, here's Tim Walz. He's handing the bag over if you're watching the simulcast. And then there's Doug looking at it. He's like, there's my Doritos, though. What's this? What is this? It's a Doritos off. This is so goofy. I can't even handle it.
If only we rehearsed this staged moment.
I thought, well, I wonder if they got into a fight after. Who I was supposed to hand the Doritos to her. No, I was going to hand the Doritos to her. I found the Doritos first. No, I was going to handle the Doritos. I put it up on X. I found the Doritos. Oh, my gosh. This is so awkward. So she's got two bags of Doritos. Who's got the bigger bag? Two bags. Oh, man. I can't. How much were they, though? I mean, most people probably couldn't afford to just go get two bags of Doritos because they're broke. That's why. The best coffee that's out there. Everything else is just absolute swill. It's just garbage. I can't stand drinking other people's coffee because their beans are bitter. It's just not good. Black Rifle Coffee gets the best damn beans from all around the world. They bring them to their facilities in Utah and Tennessee, where they roast them 5 days a week. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they support veterans and first responders as well. I got to tell you, Big Coffee hates them, like the Starbucks and all the other garbage coffee places out there. They can't stand Black Rifle Coffee because they found a way to get into American culture and mainstream, you know, support for military and 2A rights and first responders and all of that. And they just can't stand it. And so they try to attack Black Rifle Coffee so that, you know, every time you buy Black Rifle Coffee, you're help fighting back against that too. Save 20% with code Dana and you can join the coffee club. Choose your roast, frequency of shipment, have it sent to your doorstep, free shipping. So you never run out of coffee. You never have to worry about it. They got ground whole bean K-cups ready to drink, apparels, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. See it all for yourself at Black Rifle coffee.com. Order today and get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off with code Dana, only at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, apparently playing video games benefits your mental health, says a very smart study that's amazing and very scientific and one that we approve of. They said that it's often believed that video games are bad for kids. I'm just talking with my hands here. It's okay. That they're bad for kids, but because they don't promote violence. In fact, Penn and Teller did a fabulous breakdown of that. But they did a study of 97,000 people that indicated that owning a video game console and playing games actually has a positive effect on your mental well-being. And that's absolutely true. I totally believe that. As someone who plays casually, they said that there is, you know, obviously, you know, if you're on it for too long, it's not a good thing. Like if you're spending, you know, your entire hour or your entire day just drinking Mountain Dew and eating Tim Walls acquired Doritos, you know, that's probably not a good thing. However, it is really good, like, you know, in moderate use, it's good for your mental health. Elon Musk says they're pulling operations from Brazil after censorship orders. A judge there had ordered X to block certain accounts for fake news, and X said no, and so now they're pulling it. And Switzerland's offering a cash prize to get munitions stored in lakes, and EPA studies mining waste barrel cleanup in the Upper Peninsula Lake. I don't know. We're going to talk about the Yellowstone one coming up. Stay with us. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at ReadyWise. They want to make sure that you are prepared at all times. They want you to be ready so that if something goes sideways, politically or, you know, natural disaster, you're going to be able to feed your family and you're not going to be worried about where your nutrition is coming from. And the cool thing with ReadyWise is from start to finish, you know the chain of command for all of your food. It's all high-quality U.S. ingredients packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant. And everything is, you know, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. It's going to be there when you need it. They have two offers for you. You can use promo code DANA20 at checkout to get 20% off of any regularly priced item. And then you can also do the buy one, get one for the 72-hour food kit that they have. That's a $100 value for just $50, and it includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food with over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And just visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code DANA20 at checkout, and you'll get 20% off any regularly priced item. And don't forget about the buy one, get one 72-hour food kit either. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20 for 20% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's deep gratitude that we're all going to show, because under Joe Biden's leadership, our children will feed their families with jobs he created. They'll drive on roads that he built. They'll power their devices with chips that he manufactured. And also, it's not just the jobs that he created. It's also the job that he left for Kamala Harris, a job that she's going to finish as she takes on inflation with an economy that's going to work.
She's going to kill the economy, guys. You heard him say it. She's going to kill the economy. Eric Swalwell said she's going to finish it off. She's going to finish the job. We're all going to be broke. We're all going to be in the desert eating cat food. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. That was Eric Smallwell. Verbal typo, all of them. And, you know, again, at least he didn't fart on TV. He got through a whole segment. You know, I guess that was the hat that they're trying to make hats their thing now. Yeah. After years of knocking the red hats, now they're.
Election year. Actually, if you'd pan the camera down a bit, you'd see he was sitting on a
toilet?
Bale of hay.
So I'm 10. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. So, she's going to finish the job. Well, if the platform's anything to go by, it's not going to be her. It's going to be the people who ran Biden's campaign. I mean, this thing is, how many pages? 90-something pages. And as we were talking about before we had headlines, it all says, they all talk about the second term, Biden's second term, over and over again. This is so sloppy and such a clown show that they couldn't even erase Biden's second term and all of that from their published platform. Like if you needed any kind of evidence that Harris has zero capacity for policy, there you go. This is so insane. I can't believe that they did that. I'm like still looking through it, and it says second term. It's like a million times second term, and then Joe Biden's second term. They don't even care. I mean, they've had a full month now, Kane, right? Yeah. To, you know, maybe like kind of maybe get that right before they published it. It's a PDF, you know. But she was at the gas station staging a Doritos purchase. It was some of the goofiest. Like, they were acting like they're the friends on the road trip, Harry Walls. They're the friends on the road trip. Hey, I'm on a Doritos mission. I'll find the Doritos, said Tim Walls, in one of the most cringe things ever. That's what happens when she goes off script. You want to hear what else happens when she goes off script? Where's the duality of democracy? That's audio, what's that? Audio soundbite 5,000,000. 8,000, please. This is, listen to this, flashback.
Because when we think about the strength of our democracy, you know, I think that there's a duality to the nature of democracy. When it's intact, oh, it's so strong. In terms of what it does to uphold and protect individual rights and freedoms. So strong what? In its nature.
What?
And it is very fragile.
What?
It will only be as strong as our willingness to fight for.
Shots. What is that? Duality of democracy. She's used that line before. And that was odd. Okay. And now she's got the gas station thing. Full on cringe. Do they think that that's humanizing? Do you realize that when you're trying to humanize people and make them look less like government bots, that putting them in situations, off script situations where they bot-like move through, a gas station, that it looks even more obvious that none of these people have personality. It was so awkward. I mean, and they did this. Were they trying to show that Tim Walz is a wingman? Dude, Dougie already got them Doritos for her, Tim. Like, she was talking about them Doritos, you know, an empowered woman who can't find the Doritos her own damn self in the gas station, but I digress. But Dougie found them Doritos for her. And then Tim was like, oh, no, wait a minute. That kid, I'm going to go find the Doritos, too. Went to the same damn place and got the Doritos. And I cannot get over that. And then Doug's looking at him like, the hell? Like, Tim's desperate to prove that he's a butt kiss. I don't even think that's the person who's, you know, that should be performative towards, because it's, you know, Valerie Jarrett. AP now is always late to the party. Quote, Democrats are set to approve a party platform that hasn't been updated with Harris's candidacy 8 seconds ago. Well, there you go. At least they're on it. I mean, we've only been talking. It's only been out since this morning, and we've been talking about it, you know, for the whole show. But OK, there you go. Now, Kane and everybody else are talking about this U-Haul truck outside of the White House. Yeah. Just tell me what your conspiracy theory is, Kane.
Oh, I don't have a conspiracy theory.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
No, this is what he does. Kane's like, wow, look, there's a U-Haul outside of the White House.
And then what did I say? Did I say there was some
so
sort of conspiracy?
So interesting.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
How often do we see U-Hauls right outside the White House? And I'm going to answer that for you. Never.
Are you suggesting that he's resigning tonight as the DNC?
Well, there are some that are suggesting that.
But you're not.
I'm not suggesting
you're
that
You're not
at
suggesting
all.
It.
No.
Not I at all.
I think maybe it's possible that Joe is trying to steal a bunch of stuff from the White House, just take it home.
And they would bring a very conspicuous vehicle to do it.
Yeah, put it next to his Corvette.
An actual U-Haul that says U-Haul on it.
Right.
Do you honestly think that the bougie Bidens would do it? The Bidens would spend their last dime on something luxury that they don't have to do for themselves rather than spend it in a common sense fashion. Really? They would have like a black nondescript van show up.
I heard it was their 14th shell company that actually purchased the U-Haul.
Probably. I mean, who knows? How fitting would that be, though? Right? How fitting would it be? Make sure they get all Hunter's Coke out of there. They're going to be vacuuming that up. Actually, they probably won't need to. Hunter's probably the human vacuum up there right now, taking care of all of it. Just saying.
Parmesan cheese.
It's a Parmesan. I feel like this is like Arrested Development. Gene Parmesan. It feels just so goofy. Oh, my gosh. So, speaking of which, the House found that Biden used the office to enrich the family and conceal evidence. Great. Hey, I'm so glad that they're now all figuring that out. It's really great for them.
Now that he's not running.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that he's out. He's gonna pardon him. They said the House found that he committed impeachable offenses as a result, and that they were lucrative foreign and domestic business. We all know this, but the House released their findings Monday. Now, this is why it is important, and this is why this is not just like a performative thing. Go back to when they impeached Trump. This is a White House inquiry that Congress undertook, because this is the process by which you are supposed to handle these things. There was no such inquiry into Trump's anything. Congress did not take up any such inquiry. They did not look in it. They didn't go through the evidence. They didn't call people to testify behind closed doors in these subcommittees. They didn't do any of this. And so when Republicans took over Congress and they were handling this the proper way, they decided to go through all the steps by which you were supposed to, all the things you're supposed to do, and get up to, okay, we found the evidence to support accusations of impeachable offenses. Democrats did not go through that investigatory process. They just said, we're going to impeach you. On what? We just don't like you. We're going to impeach you because we don't like you. They didn't do any of this. They didn't come up with actual impeachable offenses, which is why there was no criminal element to the proceedings. There was no criminal charge. I mean, hell, at least they got Clinton lying under oath. I mean, there were no criminal charges for this. So they just didn't like him. So now they said, and this is from the Oversight and Accountability, Judiciary and Ways and Means Committees. Now, I don't know if I believe that they're going to vote to impeach him before the election. I don't know if I think they will.
Kane? I have more conspiracy theories about that than I do the U-Haul.
Oh, you do? Share.
I think they'll invoke and they'll use the 25th Amendment. They'll say that it's a medical thing. We have enough to back that up as of today. Then she will be president before we get to the election. She then will pardon Biden based on whatever may or may not culminate from this impeachment effort. And she'll probably pardon Hunter as well. And then they'll just let it all go in November. I mean, I really think that Democrats are doing a bigger chess move than most people think they will. It looks a little out of sorts. Looks like they're in disarray. It looks like things are bad. I really think this is part of the plan.
You might be right. I mean, we'll see, but they have a 291-page report here. I think they should. I think that they should go through it. I think they should just go whole hog. Let's play a game of chicken here. Let's do it. Coming up, I wanted to get into this story, too. I'm going to touch on this real quick. Where's this at? Here it is. That Snow White movie that I'm not going to see, it has Gal Gadot, who's starring as the evil queen, and she's jealous of, checks notes, Rachel Zegler's beauty.
Really?
And this chick, Rachel Zegler, she keeps stepping in it. This is the movie that's plagued with they don't like the dwarves in Snow White, and then all of the other little people who are in Hollywood got very angry, and they said that, what's his face? Who's the actor? Peter Dinklage. They were saying that you're not like, you can't gatekeep for all little people. Stop it. Like, you know, you're not the king dwarf is literally what one guy said to him. One such actor. So she stepped into controversy already several times, one of which included her bashing the prince and saying that it was creepy, you know, and all this other stuff. And it's like, that's the story that you signed up for. So then she, just a couple of days ago, she went on X and she said, quote, and always remember free Palestine, end quote, as she posted the trailer. Now, Gal Gadot is Israeli. She was in the IDF. I don't think that there's been any kind of tension, at least that we've seen between them, but that's why. When you're promoting your movie, because she posted it right after she posted the trailer, when you're doing that, why in the world? She replied to her own post. She posted the trailer, and then right underneath it which is why if you're looking at the simulcast, there's a line on top of the circle with her image, because it's that's what they call, it's a thread. It's a bunch of responses to one statement. And so she posted the video, the trailer, and then posted that underneath it. Now, some were saying, wow, that's an insult to Gal Gadot, because Gal Gadot, you know, has been very outspoken on Hamas's attack, and Palestine is a fictional place, and it's not free. You know, I mean, they voted for Hamas, and they Hamas is super, super powerful. She called the Prince character a stalker, and now she's wading into the Hamas versus Israel conflict. She's, I think, one of the dumbest people I've ever, I mean, I just can't. Disney's got its hands full with her, and I don't know any other studio that would want to sign up with having to deal with that, right? I mean, that's just why. Why are, I don't know. We got more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up, folks, who bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone services out there. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. In fact, they're going to save you a lot of money when you make the switch, and you can get free activation using code Dana. And see, with Patriot Mobile, you are supporting U.S.-based jobs. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. And you're going to get the best service without funding the left. They have nationwide coverage in all three major networks. And when you switch to them, you're not putting money in the pockets of all the things, the issues and candidates that you vote against every time you're at the ballot box. Because Patriot Mobile makes sure that the momentum goes behind the things you support. Make sure you use code Dana for that free activation. And when you visit, again, you can get a free month when you use offer code Dana and free activation. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service with offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by pretenders who act like they share your values. They don't. And they act like they have the same coverage. They don't. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man was visiting the Big Apple. This was in November, but the court case apparently was ongoing because he sued. The guy, Stephen Goodman of Florida, was visiting the Big Apple on November 15th when he sustained serious injuries, guys, because of a negligently placed display. It sat above a staircase and handrail in court papers, is what he said. It was a Victoria's Secret display, and he had to have medical care because he apparently like fell down the stairs because he was too busy looking at the dummy's boobs. That's what happened. He was looking at dummy boobs and he fell down the stairs. That's what happened. Yeah. He's like these negligently placed boobs. I mean display. That's what happened.
That's what his face looked like when he said it.
He fell. It sat above a staircase and handrail, and he was too busy looking at it. It was their flagship store on Fifth Avenue. He was too busy looking at it, and so he fell. And he had to have medical care. He said it was a dangerous trap-like condition. Yeah, some will say that. Some will say that, indeed. Oh, my gosh. You know, let's see here. Oh, let's see. I'm not going to do that one. This Florida man, NBC, was sentenced for life because he killed a man over dog do. And then he like confessed like in an angry way. Omar Rodriguez fatally shot Jose Rey following a dispute about Rey's dog defecating on Rodriguez's son's lawn. So it wasn't even Rodriguez's lawn. It was his son's lawn, according to authorities. So South Florida man, he was sentenced to life in prison. It was a 2015 murder, but now they're in court, and Omar Rodriguez was yelling at Lisette Rey. She was married to Jose Rey, and Rodriguez shot the guy, over the dog defecating on his son's lawn because apparently the neighbor wasn't intervening, wouldn't stop it, wasn't cleaning it up. And in court, the widow was crying, right? And so Rodriguez just loses it and in court screams, "The coward was your husband. That's why I killed him. He cried like a baby." Why would you kill a guy? Well, I mean, you know, this is a guy who kills somebody over dog.
He's going to get prison justice over that.
Dude, he's so going to get prison justice over this. So that his attorney was, can you imagine his attorney? Just like, why are you? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I did it.
Shut up.
Yeah, and good night. A Florida man doctor forgot his hearing aid and couldn't hear the patient screaming during a colonoscopy.
Oh, no.
That actually happened. It's over at the Tennessean. Yeah, they said a Florida doctor's facing disciplinary action. He failed to wear his hearing aids during a colonoscopy, and so he didn't hear the patient screaming in pain. Dr. Prasad, a gastroenterologist, has been placed on probation by Florida Board of Medicine after two procedures went wrong under his care. Check them hearing aids. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
There is going to be so much love for Joe Biden. There's going to be tears of joy when he walks into that hall. And what he has done, and I love that a major focus of this is going to be on democracy.
So this is Amy Klobuchar, who, because the DNC kicks off tonight, saying there's going to be tears of joy when Biden walks in. Or maybe he's going to have to be rolled in. We haven't really seen too much of him. But the DNC is kicking off. Protests have started. They've always had very violent protests. The DNC has always had kind of like a history with these violent protests. And in Chicago, we're going to talk about that. Welcome back to the program. We are at the top of this third hour on Monday. We're going to get you set up for the week. How many Antifa did you say was there, Kane?
Well, there's been different numbers.
I just read like three different numbers. There's like thousands.
Now they say up to 80,000 are there.
No
total.
Way.
And I didn't even know there were that many in the country.
I didn't either.
But again, when you talk about this movement, you can really recruit these dumb sheeple overnight, especially when you offer payment. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty easy.
Yeah, pretty easy thing to do. So we're going to dive into all of this. And again, welcome back. Dana Lash with you. You can watch the simulcast. We're on Channel 347 DirecTV Rumble, where the discussion is on X as well. And all kinds of, this is just, I'm even shocked if there are thousands. That means like these people don't have work and they're going to Chicago. Businesses have been boarded up. Democrats were told to use aliases because of the protests that are expected. They're getting all the Marxism they wanted. What are they protesting for? Like, what else are you you're getting? There, Democrats want to give you $25,000 to buy a house, which is going to make houses $25,000 more expensive. They want to give free. It's Santa Claus. They want to give free everything to everyone. And on top of it, they're also going to beat everyone to death on taxation, including the middle class. So you're getting, they're getting everything that they want. So they said that Democrats were concerned about their personal security. And they were telling other Democrat lawmakers, don't go to certain areas. The protesters aren't staying in their designated protest site. Isn't that, I just have to ask, is that not the antithesis of protests? Really? So they're worried. They had boarded up windows and doors. Hey, you know the DNC is coming to town when businesses got to board up. Don't you think that's, they had to board everything up. DNC violence. That should be the hashtag. So how bad is it going to be? In 1968, it was really bad. How bad is this one going to be? We'll see. Compare that to the GOP convention. You didn't have to have businesses boarded up. They didn't have to do any of that stuff. But, Republicans also don't use, far left militant, very angry militant entities as their get out the vote mechanism either, right? To try to get the votes out. But the, I don't know, we'll see how bad it is. I'm sure it'll be a mostly peaceful protest. They had pictures of Illinois State Police all headed to Chicago. Apparently, they said that, people are all already amassing. And what are they protesting for? What's the point? To scare them away from moderation? Is that it? I don't know. Labor unions are getting the first prime billing. We were talking a little bit about this earlier. This is the way that Democrats do outreach to the common working man. They don't reach out to the man. They reach out to the labor boss that they help make. That's who they reach out to. They don't actually reach out to the working men and women. So they're going after, they're making these overtures to union members. And I think that, I think that union bosses should be made to answer for why they support politicians who want to eliminate incentives for investment, eliminate the ability of businesses to grow because they're having to pay excessive taxation to an out of control spending government. And then all of this contributes to exporting jobs, outsourcing everything. By the way, I noticed that wasn't in the DNC platform either. But they can go and get their free abortions and their free vasectomies and all of this stuff. And you can go and see the 18-foot-tall inflatable IUD called Frida Womb. That's just tacky. That's nasty. Isn't that just, I just find that to be nasty. Kane, is it bad? Is your mic off real quick?
It is.
Okay. Is it bad if I look at the bus and I'm like, oh, that's a, is that?
No.
I mean, that's accurate. I mean, they're not cancer screening. Is that what you think they're doing medically?
No, they're not doing it. It's all vasectomies and abortions.
Yeah. So it pretty much is about sex.
It's the, I can't tell you what I said, but it's that kind of a, that's the other kind of party bus. So that's, ew, right? You got a bus. We're here at the convention. Guess I'll just go in here, throw my legs in the stirrups and get some abortions. Good heavens. So they got, and that's provided by Planned Parenthood from Missouri. Remember, sidebar, Planned Parenthood gets $500 million. And don't get mad at me for these numbers that they made publicly available on their own website in the form of a PDF that you can download and look through. Don't get mad at me for pointing this out, but they get $500 million taxpayer dollars annually. And that's increased dramatically just over the past couple of years. They get $500 million and they always say, well, we don't spend any of this money towards, abortion services, nothing. Well, you don't, they're not licensed to perform mammograms. All they do is give referrals. We've had this debate 10 years ago. All they do is give referrals. They have a restricted amount of care. That's why you have community health centers that outnumber Planned Parenthoods in every single state 3-1. And they don't even offer pediatric. I mean, the community health centers offer everything. They just don't do taxpayer funded abortions on demand up to the moment of birth, which is something that Democrats wanted, which is why they had the Women's Protection Act that every Democrat senator signed on to. This was back during 2021. So that was a real thing. No, they that much of your taxpayer dollars. And you know that if they don't have a lot of money and then they get taxpayer money, that frees up the money that they have because they got the taxpayer money to take that money spot to go and spend that other money on abortion services. So that's a stupid argument because money's fungible. This is so dumb. But that's whether they want to scare everyone into that. Gosh, that's just such pandering. Can you just think about this just for a moment in terms of rhetoric? If Republicans had done anything similar with an inflatable IUD, would that not be considered pandering to women? You have an inflatable IUD outside of your convention. Look, women, because you're too stupid to read anything about policy, here's a giant inflatable IUD that tells you where you need to be, ladies. This is where you need to go. Just slut walk right over to that IUD. Just go right over there.
It's like an eighth grade teaching tool.
Oh, do you guys want to go get drinks after? Meet us at the giant inflatable IUD. Meet us at the abortion bus. What dude's going to go and be getting vasectomies? I mean, I've never wanted to protest anyone, but I have wanted to stand outside something and make fun of people.
It's like, are you not beta enough? Come on into this bus.
Come on into the bus. We're going to snip your stuff. Go on in. So the lineup tonight, did you see Shepherd Fairey's trying to do for Kamala Harris, which kind of seems like an aside. It just seems like, I don't know. He did the Obama Hope poster. So now he did a Kamala poster and it's forward. Nothing says progress like using old Soviet style propaganda for your campaign messaging. Wooty woot. So the Monday today, the Bidens speak. And guess who else speaks? Hillary Clinton speaks tonight. And the Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson. So you've got the Bidens, Hillary, and the Chicago mayor all speaking tonight. Tuesday, Barack Obama speaks, and then Dorito Doug also talks. That's Kamala Harris's husband, Dougie. And then you get a welcome from the penguin, I mean, not the penguin from D.C., but Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. And then Wednesday night, you get Tim Walz. He gives his VP acceptance speech, and then Bill Clinton speaks. And then you have Speaker Emeritus Nancy Pelosi, and then you got Poop Booty Juice. CNN says Transpo new mom, secretary, and admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy Tonka, Poot Booty Juice, is going to be speaking also on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Harris accepts the convention's nomination. And apparently Schumer is going to speak and Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries. So, and then Jimmy Carter's grandson is going to speak. And I'm sure he's going to be like, I hope he lives long enough to vote for Harris. I bet they're okay. You want to hear my?
I was going to say you don't have to be alive to vote.
Well, Jimmy Carter, whether he's dead or alive, is going to be voting for Kamala Harris. I mean, let's be honest. He's going to be voting for Harris. Okay,
being alive become a requirement for Democrats.
Exactly. Like, wait a minute, he's dead. He can still vote, can he? But I'm just, especially if it's a shambolic convention. What are the odds that Carter, like, you know, heaven forbid, kicks the bucket and then that news cycle shifts and it's all Jimmy Carter, you know, and then they don't really focus on, you know, anything else. Just saying. So we got a lot to hit.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So 30 electric scooters were pulled out of a river in Ohio. As a part of an effort to keep Cincinnati beautiful. The sergeant who works with the police unit says they train in the water once a month, but they didn't expect to make, you know, have this discovery this particular month. They said it was under the Rich Street Bridge. People were walking the path, the bike path, and they were like, why are there so many electric scooters down there? People have been dumping them, apparently. That's kind of crazy. San Francisco's Millennium Tower, their owners could face a $10,000 fine for open windows. They said that at the wrong time, not just open windows, but open windows at the wrong time. The tower is apparently leaning and sinking and has been dealing with separate window problems dating back to before February of 2020. And that's when an open window broke free in high winds and plunged from the 41st floor of the high rise. No one was injured, but they had to install stronger support systems, secure to open windows. And basically nothing's been changed. I'm just surprised that if like windows fall out, that nothing's been, that's kind of shocking. That is really shocking. And that it's sinking. That's crazy. That's a high rise. That's crazy. So let's see. Now they're telling you don't run your dishwasher at night. It's dangerous. And do so at your own peril. Apparently it can like cause your home to start a fire. I do that all the time though. I literally run my dishwasher like at night. And by the way, isn't that when they tell you you're supposed to run this stuff is at night?
I literally did it last night.
Yeah. So they, it's like, you know, that's the routine for a lot of people. But apparently one woman's dishwasher caught fire. And as a result, it was probably, you know, like probably the wiring or something. So I just don't think that that's, it can catch fire essentially anytime. Right. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That just seems just, I don't know. I don't think that you're in any more danger than you would be if you ran it any other time. Let's see. 3 billion people compromised from a national public data leak. Social security numbers, a massive data breach. 3 billion people. I'm sure everybody's affected at this point. They said that the NPD, the national public data, they resell collected personal data for background checks. They sell you. Confirmed a data breach, leaked names. I think if they're selling you, and especially if they're selling your information and you didn't specifically tell them that you can sell them, they can sell your information, that you should be able to sue them if something horrible happens to you because of their negligence. So they had, apparently they have stolen data and people are selling it on the dark web. They have a security incident page where they were said a third party bad actor got into their system, and now they have this huge leak. And they said they're cooperating with law enforcement. They don't know how many people have been affected or have any compensation, you know, especially if you're wiped out because of a, you know, data theft. Good heavens. Also, Manitoba Health Authority admits to an error that led to a burial mix-up. A family buried the wrong person. Not like they didn't know that they were doing this in Winnipeg. They didn't know it. But apparently they're trying to figure out how the family received and buried the remains of the wrong individual. It's not their family member. So they launched an internal investigation, the company that was responsible, to try to make sure it doesn't happen again. That's kind of crazy. They found that there was gaps on how remains were tracked in and out of the morgue. And that probably doesn't help with grief very much, to have something like that happen, like when you're at the, you know, you're grieving the loss of a loved one. And a man was accused of stealing a Yellowstone National Park vehicle while drunk. Yeah, this is a Virginia man. He was he stole a truck near Old Faithful while totally drunk, out of his wits. And he ended up going to jail, but it was a heavy wrecker. It was near Old Faithful Lodge, and he was driving wrong way down a one-way road. Yay, stay with us.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
And by doing that, and all that that requires, which is the hard work, the practice, working as a team, knowing that you will be undefeated even if you don't win every game, but no circumstance or event or moment will defeat your spirit.
Guys. Guys, first off, welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour. No, I know nothing about football. But I actually think she knows less than I do about football, because, or about sports in general. She was talking, Kamala Harris, there to a football team in Pennsylvania. She was saying that you're undefeated even if you don't win every game. No, no. If you've been defeated, guess what? If you've been defeated, then that means you're not undefeated. I sound like her now. Welcome back, as I said. Now I'm mad because I had to sound like her just a minute to explain her insane.
Just need to stop using words as actual definitions of words. You can't use logic.
You're
talking about politics.
Someone was like, is there any drinking game for the DNC? No, because I'm not an alcoholic and I don't want to die of alcohol poisoning. And there's not enough liquor. And no. And also, it makes you feel like you are without killing brain cells, without that. So Thursday, I feel like, I'm so sorry, Juan. I'm really sorry this week for you. He's got to get so much stuff. Oh my gosh. So her speech is going to be something else. Lorraine notes that she doesn't see Newsom on the schedule. It is interesting. I kind of think that maybe now that they picked her, he doesn't want anything to do with it until 2028. He's just going to preserve himself and act like he's doing stuff in California, you know, picking up stuff from the homeless crisis that he helped create, things like that. I don't see him on the, I mean, he could be, I see Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama, et cetera. The Guardian, which is pretty much a Marxist publication, is like, oh, rising stars at the DNC. I don't see any. I don't know what they're talking about. They said that Gavin Newsom is expected to receive a prime speaking slot, but I don't. And some of the speakers that they expect, Josh Shapiro and then obviously Poop Booty Juice. I can't imagine Newsom not running. I think it would be weird. They say he is expected to speak. I just don't know when. So I think his name wasn't on some of the immediate materials that were sent out to everyone. But I think because he's going to Chicago today. He's apparently traveling today, and the expectation is that he's speaking on Tuesday. And he's also delivering the final delegate votes to officially make Harris the nominee, according to his campaign spokesperson. So, and that's from KCRA. So he'll be there on Tuesday, and he's delivering those California votes. But I do think that you should watch what he says. Because I think Newsom, Josh Shapiro, Big Gretch. These are all people that are lined up for 2028. Andy Beshear. I think it's interesting if Beshear doesn't have a speaking slot, because he's considered he's not a moderate, but he's considered the most moderate. I mean, he's the governor of a red state, Kentucky. So that's going to be kind of interesting. So we'll see how this all goes. But the platform, and then you got the protests and everything else, it's just going to be a clown show. You guys know this. An absolute clown show. And you know they're going to be talking a lot about DEI. A lot about DEI. That is, delegates arrived today, and they're going under digital signage, according to Axios, it's digital signage in the United Center that says it's on the stairs. They have like these screens on the going up the stairs, and it says, "Let's win this." It's in your history's in your hands. Is what it says. Oh, boy. Speaking of DEI, Harley Davidson. You know, Harley Davidson got itself into some trouble. Harley Davidson, of all the things that you would think are like not DEI, but they did. They had their CEO. He was talking about embracing wokeness and DEI. And he was at this... the Rockefeller Leadership Award event, and he was saying that they were going to that event says they're all about dismantling systems that create the most urgent problems of our time, social injustice and climate change. And he went out there and was saying that they wanted to be as diverse as we could possibly be as a brand and a business, and I celebrate diversity and inclusion, and that's one of the reasons why I took the job, because I believe, blah, blah, blah. He was like going on and on and on about DEI and all of this, and so there was a lot of controversy as a result. So now they tweeted this out a little earlier today, because this is what happened with Tractor Supply and then John Deere and then now Harley Davidson. So they tweeted, I'm not going to read the whole statement, but they tweeted out this statement saying they're committed to listening to all the members of their community. They're just buying a damn bike. Okay. Stop. So they said, blah, 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 Joy Motorcycling, 120 years, blah, blah, blah. We're saddened, they said, by the negativity on social media over the last few weeks designed to divide the Harley Davidson community. So they're saying that the reaction was designed to divide the Harley Davidson community, not the fact that their CEO was out there talking about, DEI, alphabet, blah, 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 and bending the knee. They said, as a company, we take this issue seriously. It's our responsibility to respond with clarity. We initiated an internal stakeholder review to better align company activities to the needs of both our business and community. So they said that we're committed to the following: diversity and equity and inclusion, DEI. They wrote, we see it as every leader's role to ensure we have an employee base that reflects our customers. How about you just have employees that you hire based on merit and not, they should reflect, the employees that you hire should reflect the work ethic of your company and wanting to work hard for your customers. And it shouldn't be based on things that people don't control. Skin color, think where they come from, all of that stuff. That's irrelevant. It should just be merit. They said that we do not have, they say in their statement, quote, that said, we have not operated a DEI function since April 2024, and we do not have a DEI function today. We do not have hiring quotas, and we no longer have supplier diversity spend goals, end quote. Okay, credit where due. Credit where due. And then the other stuff I don't care about. So it looks like they're backing off of that. That's a good thing, right? Yeah. I like it when they, look. You got to be open to reconciliation, folks. I like it that they said that they went way further than Bud Light ever did in terms of walking it back. They didn't bring out a dude cosplaying as a chick and do a pantomime of women, right? They didn't do woman face in an ad. But I still think it's important that, you know, you got to be, the DEI stuff is absolute Marxism. So I think this is good. Their CEO's got to go, I think. Don't you agree, Kane?
I do. I'm seeing a statement they had 2 hours ago that they said they're still committed to DEI.
Well, that's what I'm reading off their thing, but did you read the whole statement? I just read it.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying
it's contrary. We have not operated a DEI function since April 2024, and we do not have a DEI function today. We do not have hiring quotas, and we no longer have supplier diversity spend goals. Yes,
but that's contradictory to what they say they're still committed to, is my point. That's why it's like a contradictory statement almost to me.
I don't know if it's like they're
playing both sides almost. Or trying to.
They said that they're committed to, I guess, what is it? Their customers. But they said that they don't have a DEI, I guess. I don't know what DEI function means. What does that even mean? Like a DEI department? Like a DEI position? What were, like chief diversity officers, what some of these companies have. But I'm looking at the statement that they tweeted just a little bit ago. So anyway, this is what I don't get. Why do you have companies like, for the love, John Deere, they make damn tractors. Why does your tractor company have to go out and make a statement? Oh yeah, we're totally fine if you have a penis and you want to pretend not to. Like, why do you have to even get into all this stuff with DEI? Why do you have to get into the racial stuff? The trans, why do you have to do any of this? Sell bikes, sell tractors, sell farm supplies. Why do you have to get in? Because the people that are doing this are not buying your products anyway. They just hate you because you're an iconic American brand. And this is cultural. This is like what we saw, Mao's Cultural Revolution, where they would go and destroy all of the tenets of their Chinese culture to replace it with Marxist symbolism. That's exactly what this is. They just call it something different. That's why they go after these certain businesses. You know, the free economy of the United States. They're going after these iconic American brands that were built around telling the story of who and what the United States is. You know, they are free-spirited motorcycle enthusiasts. They're, you know, they're farmers, they're ranchers, they're, you know, they work the land. They all tell the story and they go after these icons. And much like you see with people tearing down statues, they want to tear down these icons. And so now all these businesses, as a veneer of protection that they got to put up, do this stuff. And it's just dumb. What does DEI have to do at all with riding motorcycles? Nothing. So why do you have to wade into it? Your CEO is a moron. Why do you have to go out and say this stuff? Why do you open up not just your brand, but all of the people who have worked so hard to make your brand what it is? What about the people who save their money and they get their first Harley Davidson? And then your CEO walks on stage, bends over and spreads his cheeks apart for fun, you know, as a show to the audience. Look how debased I can make myself. I'm going to sit here and do a performative act for this Mao's Cultural Revolution 2.0. It's exactly what this is. The CEO literally was on stage helping to bust down his own company's brand. And for what? What return off of that debasement are you expected to get? You got all these people, like I said, that worked and saved and they got Harley Davidsons. And the CEO just went out there and took a sledgehammer to the brand. And now these people are looking at their bikes that they were so proud to own, it was an icon representative of American culture, representative of no boundaries, you know, freedom. And now they're looking at their purchase like, wow. And they're not feeling great about it. The people who are making them do this are not shareholders. The fact that they did this shareholder survey after the fact is insane to me. So you have the CEO that goes out there and is like, yeah, I'll just bust up the brand with a sledgehammer. Oh, and then we'll do our shareholder review. And guess what? The shareholders were like, uh-uh. Stop it. Clearly. This is so dumb. But this is what this is. They want to enforce Mao's cultural revolution through business and financial institutions. That's what it's all about. I mean, I was reading the statements of some of these people. They're like, I'm not proud to ride my bike anymore. You know, this is made in the USA. We were proud to ride it, you know. It was leading the world again with manufacturing motorcycles. I mean, you're... And then they started offshore manufacturing. I mean, there's all kinds of... They said that they moved away for it and they don't have an official position, but they, I will agree with you, Kanan, that they didn't say we hate DEI,
right,
or we are never going to adopt DEI.
It just seems like they're playing both sides. Like, no, oh, look what we said here.
Yeah. Or, but if you read between the lines, the shareholders clearly did not like it.
That is absolutely true.
Because Bud Light never put out a statement like this.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
We have the DNC starting tonight. Of course, I'll be bringing you the worst moments and the worstest moments, because I don't think there's going to be any really good things in there. And I don't think you could ignore, I mean, I think maybe 20 years ago you could say, oh, there might be some bright spots. There's not, because they've gone so far left and they demand such hive mind that, you know, I just don't really think that there's going to be any kind of like bright spot, any good moment. There's not going to be any good policy that's shared. You got the protesters out there, and we'll watch all of that for you as well. So make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, because that's where we're going to be breaking it all down. And in the meantime, did I steal your Today in Stupidity? Because no. I stole your audio.
No, not at Kane all. Was, no, there's, Kane like
was
I said,
excited there's, about it.
It's a surplus of stupid. So there's plenty for this particular segment. And okay. Juan, it is cut one. Now, think about this, because the housing market, and saw this back in 2008 and 2009,
yeah,
when Obama was being elected and inaugurated, that essentially the correction of the housing market took place at that point because of policies that she's already signed and was the tiebreaker in with the Inflation Reduction Act. But here's what she says, and it should scare you.
So now, the housing market can be complicated.
Yeah.
But look, I'm not new to this issue.
Oh.
Oh, you're not.
You're not.
She's not. She's not new to this issue.
No?
Neither is Tim. Well, Tim Walz would be. He doesn't even own any property.
I think at this, most issues, she's new to
it's
them.
Not even her issue. She doesn't even have any policies for it.
No clue. So she knows that government spending raises rates and inflation, which makes housing less affordable. Then you have to do government things like, hey, here's 25 grand to help subsidize you buying homes.
Houses $25,000.
Our money. Stop doing that.
It's our money, and we work damn hard for it. Very hard for our money. So do you. Everybody does. We all do. All right, folks, that does it for us today. We got a weird week ahead of us. We'll weather through it together. All right. God bless. I'll be back with you tomorrow.